for Kia. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals. And Lumo SA, energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA.
Yeah, good evening, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. All thanks to repcoservice.com. If you want to get your car air conditioning serviced or fixed up or rebooted, go down and see Repco. They are a terrific mob. Repco, authorised services. Welcome the great man, Malcolm Jack Blight. Blighty, how are you?
David Wilde, the Tea Tree Gully golf member.
Oh, don't,
are you an elitist? Are you elitist? We've been talking about this all week.
I tell you what.
You're not elitist.
I play.
You play at a really good golf club where Workman's golf club. Yeah, that's right.
It's funny, the people that heard talking about this Nikki Gemmell's article about golf being elite and get rid of it out of suburbs. That she was saying, get rid of all the space it takes up in a suburbia. And nick it off to the region. She's saying, well, if they can afford the equipment, afford their fees for this, they can afford to travel and play. And I played very poorly today, but a few of the guys weren't too happy. And I've got to say, Malcolm, with golf, there's a lot of guys that, you know, can't put 2 cents together, but they save their money.
Correct.
They don't have the coffees, their lattes. They don't do this. They don't have gym memberships. They play golf.
Yeah, they save their money.
That's their choice.
Because they like to get out in the fresh air.
And just on Tiger, he's recovering in hospital. A lot of people saying probably won't play golf again. His feet are mangled. His legs are mangled. He had open fractures, both legs. So we're not saying he would have won another major, but you would love to see Tiger play for another 15 years. No one excites anymore.
I've got my fingers crossed.
Than Tiger.
I've got my fingers crossed for something else. Now, this is for a caller of the week. Have a listen to this. For Lumo Energy SA. Call of the week. But you've got to be a Lumo Energy customer in South Australia.
Okay.
Right, so Lumo Energy SA, this is. And there's an exciting Adelaide Fringe Pack to give away. Give us a call. So if you ring up Sports Day SA, David Wilde and me, Malcolm Blight, you can get a winner pack. And I can tell you now, it's a $150 pack. I won't read out everything, but to give you an... You know, one of my favourite places is Café de Villiers, and you get a coffee.
Great
there.
Man, too.
You get tickets to picture theatres, comedy festivals, 365 days of deals at movies, unbelievable fringe stuff, fringe this, fringe that, $150 pack. If the best caller for this week must be a Lumo Energy Sport customer. That's Lumo SA Energy.
We did a little... footy show on community TV, Channel 31 for a long while.
Yep.
Villy
was
our major sponsor.
Good man.
Donated, $20,000
to
$25,000 a year.
I love them too.
I love their pie. And we also got dozens of that produce on the Friday morning. Great man.
Can I just ask anyone, why don't we get that now, David, if you've got those sort of connections? Hang on. Graft and corruption. We're not into that.
I'll take you down to the Villy's restaurant. Cafes. I love them.
Absolutely. Out in Main North Road too. I've been there. That's good too. Yeah. She's got some good spots.
Hey, the cricket.
The cricket.
Both boys have made hundreds, Head and Hunt.
Yeah, the two South Australian boys have, what were they? Just at T2?
Two for 237. Hey, while we're on cricket, Aaron Finch, you've been saying you perhaps shouldn't be playing for the last couple of years, but how can you possibly retain your spot? There's only 20 overs in a game, and he's failed, I think, about 14 out of the last 16 innings, and his other two have only been 20 or 30. How can he possibly keep playing?
He's been a wonderful player.
He's an ageing player now.
And your time comes up. I can't believe it. And I'll go back to the selectors. I reckon Australia has probably lost the series against India and going to probably lose this one. They've got three to go because of selection of teams. I keep telling you, Joe Burns is an opener. His form was terrible. Aaron Finch's form was terrible. And, I mean, that puts enormous pressure on everybody else. I don't get it. If I'd played eight bad games in footy...
You dropped. Yeah, you dropped. Footy's a bit different. They do drop you, but cricket has seemed to retain a lot of advantages. And then you get someone like Callum Ferguson, gets one test on a minefield, gets run out in one of the innings, never plays again.
Yeah, don't get it.
But Aaron Finch, Mark Waugh came out and said, other people can captain. You've got Moses Henriques. There's other lads in there that are captains. Mitch Marsh could captain.
Of course.
But Aaron Finch, they say, well, he's got Warnie as a mate, great cricket brain, this and that, but he's still got to make runs.
You've got to. I mean, it's the name of the game. I just don't get it. Can I just say, I mean, captain is important, but I think sometimes overrated. David, you've just got 20 knocked off that over. Perhaps I'll change the bowler. Hey, listen, we've snicked three through slips. Why don't we put a steep third man in?
Yeah.
If you know the game of cricket, you'll know it very early. It's not that hard, to be perfectly honest.
And the other guy that infuriates you, Glenn Maxwell?
Oh, yeah, another reverse sweep out. I'd love to see how many runs that man has made with the reverse sweep and how many times he's got out being a smarty marty.
Mm. Yeah, and he just signed up for another couple of $1 million IPL of a very, very poor IPL last time.
I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it. It goes against everything in the nature of the game. And I know T20's made, isn't that fantastic? And I'll show you now that so many get out with that stupid shot. Just play a normal cricket shot. I don't get it.
Do you worry, though, about T20 results? I don't care.
I do, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Australia win or lose?
No, I want to see wins.
Well, pick the best team then.
Big Bash, I want to see the strikers win. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see a good game. Hey, it was a pretty good game, actually. New Zealand just got up by 4 runs in Dunedin.
A high-scoring game. It was small ground, was it?
Yeah, small ground. Yeah, a lot of sixes.
Okay.
And Daniel Sams came in at the end with Stoinis, and they nearly pinched it. Nearly pinched it. 6 after 6.
Olympics 2032. The winner is Brisbane.
Yeah.
Brisbane. You've been spending a lot of time up there.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold it. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Oh, for you. Yeah. It's only 11 years away.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be in your early 80s. Oh, yeah. I'll be in my 70s, 70s. Early 70s.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. Good on them. That'd be great. No, it is great. And I think it's great for the younger people to look at. Well, I don't know about me.
We did Sydney so well. I think a good place to come and have the Olympics.
Tell you who else got beaten. Ash Barty got beaten last night here in Adelaide.
Well, as I said, the knife's been out for Ash.
Mm.
She is number one. But I think she needs to start beating some players a little bit better than her. So, such a wonderful, wonderful person. I mean, it's really hard to knock her. One of those, they knock Serena Williams for losing in semi-finals. But Ash Barty, she's had a pretty golden run. And I think she needs to start winning a few more, bigger tournaments.
Isn't it like Aaron Finch? Finch. You go through form. No one goes out there and plays perfectly every game, no matter what sport. I mean, a lot of people think that, I had a great mate of mine. He said, you probably play more average games than really good games in the game that we played, David, both cricket and footy.
Oh, I don't think you would have.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. Everyone plays average games.
Yeah, but not more than good games.
I don't know. I was going to mention something else, too. Hey, the 36ers beat Melbourne United.
The Magic,
yeah.
Southeast.
Oh, yeah. What do I say?
They play Melbourne United tonight.
They're still fourth,
Phoenix, yeah. Yeah, no, they're around the mark. We had DJ. We fired him up last night, Daniel Johnson. But they need another win. If they can beat Melbourne United, who are sitting on top of the ladder, it'd be a terrific result for them tonight.
Now, Sam's just handed me the Crows list to play Port Adelaide this weekend.
I'm looking forward to James Rowe. Jimmy Rowe apparently burning the track down. He's a seasoned player now. He's played 3 years of league footy and played it very well. So I think it'll be issue in. He's playing, and I reckon he'll play round one. But I reckon the guys like Hamill, we're going to speak with Will Hamill tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Schomburg, yep. Scholl, yep. Mackesy. See, Himmelberg's not on that list.
He's been listed in the Sandfall team.
They've got a lot of upside. It's going to take a while. I still don't think the Crows will do much for 3 years.
It's at Albanon, but the Sandfall team's going to play, and then the AFL team's
going to play. Yeah, 8:30 and 11:30.
Yeah.
It's on 5AA too. They'll be calling
Saturday
that game.
At Albanon Oval, which, it's the first time. I saw some results today from Melbourne too. North Melbourne got whacked by the Bulldogs, I think.
Just a trial match. St. Kilda beat them, didn't they?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
and Adelaide play Port Adelaide again next week in the Community Cup series, so back to back.
That's
so I wonder
good,
how
though.
Many changes they'll make from these teams. Matt Crouch's not playing too; he's got a hip flexor.
No, and Daniel Talia's not playing.
So Tommy Duday.
Tommy Duday. So their back line's going to be pretty young. You're going to have guys like Fisher Mackesy and Jordan Butts in it.
Where do you honestly see the Crows this year? They ended up winning 4 games last year, 3 or 4 games.
3.
Okay, so. With a bit of natural improvement and the guys are both, what do you think's a fair result?
I've always said, and I'll say this forever, if the bottom team wins 6 games, you've got a fantastic competition. Just think of that.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they won 3. You see bottom teams winning 1, 2, 3.
They only played 17 last year. So a bit different.
So I would suggest six games, the bottom team, you know, North Melbourne don't look as though they've recruited really well. Crows are going to be younger. They were the two bottoms last year. But if they can get to six wins, I think you've got a really good comp. And then you've got at least some space to go forward. You know, six becomes eight or nine, ten, and then on from there.
I always felt like Port finished minor premier, Crows finished bottom last year. But that gulf, the big gap, is going to close. Just a matter of how quickly it will close. When Port will come down a bit with some of their older players, and Crows got a very, very young squad now.
Well, Port are going to win three of the next five premierships, so that's not
is
going
that
to happen.
Right?
Yeah, it's not going to happen very soon.
Well, you've made some big statements in your time. That's good, isn't it? Going in, you know.
I don't think I've ever
shoot for the stars.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever did that. But I think you've always thought. I've always thought if you're going to be involved in a footy club, if you don't have the aspiration or the thought to play in finals, I don't know. Everything I ever did from a coaching point of view was to try and get to represent the club in September. I don't care where you were on the ladder, whether we coached Woodville or St Kilda or Adelaide or Geelong. Whatever I did, I always did it to try and show that you'd get to the finals and qualify for them.
Massive Port theme tonight. Xavier Dursman, one of our favourites, will join us. Darryl Wakelin, one of the old timers too. Premiership player. Terrific player though, wasn't he?
He's
going to join us for Office Works and talk about players that have actually, you know, made their way outside of football.
Which is a massive, massive thing for any young player now. Anyone listening, find something else to do other than footy, because footy is not going to be there for everyone forever.
You're the super coach. Did you have a theme, a mantra every year to try and go from the... Is there always something you had the seed?
Yeah, no, the marketing department in most really good comes will come up with a slogan to try and get members involved.
Yep.
Internally, you tried to probably add a couple of things to your list. Never changed dramatically, because what you believed in a game of footy, I believe all the way through. What you did was just see how that team operated, this team you're coaching, just tweaked a few things. You didn't need to tweak a lot.
Did your game style change much? How much does it depend on personnel for the way you play? Like, say, from a Geelong side, you then came across to a younger Adelaide side. You came out of a North Melbourne side that had a lot of, you know, stars, to be honest. How much does your game plan change according to what you've got?
I think morally, internally, you've got this picture. I always thought coaching was about painting a picture for players. And I think that I had this, but sometimes you had to bend that a little bit, because all of a sudden the fullback you've got is only 6'2", not 6'7". Do you know what I mean? So there's actually, you've got to change it according to the personnel. But generally the philosophy, I reckon, is 85% about the players, 15% about the philosophy.
But you had your little ones like...
Maybe 80 to 20.
You hated seeing three blokes go after the one person.
That drive me nuts.
It did.
Yeah.
So one goes there, others can make a circle or block the exit.
And blokes just go underground, drives me nuts. Yeah. And you know what? Cricketers still drive me nuts. That Will Krakowski still knackered because of that shoulder. He did
big
diving.
Yeah, that was silly.
I mean, I don't know why blokes do it.
You should go with that. I think more and more people are picking up to save a run and to break a shoulder in cricket,
and half the
and
time,
often they don't even get it when they dive.
No, they dive and knock it into the road.
I saw Maxwell do that day. So
well.
We're going to try and pick a winner too shortly with our man Toddy.
Toddy's back.
Has he got his stand-up coming up shortly?
Yes, he has.
I want to go to that. He's offered us tickets. I should try and make it. And you should come too, you with Patsy.
Is that graft and corruption?
I didn't ask for free ticket. I said I'd pay, but he's offered free ones. Is he?
Don't forget, if anyone makes a call, we've got this Lumo Energy customers in South Australia. This whole big pack to give away.
Going to do that next week. Xavier Dursman, Darryl Wakelin, Toddy Gray, plenty more on Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight with David Wildey.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals. And Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA.
Yeah, Blighty and Wilds, the cricketers are going well. The Redbacks currently 2 for 251, 61 overs, and Travis Head and Henry Hunt both making centuries.
David, we got a throwback Thursday segment, but I just wanted to pass this on. I don't know if you noticed today, but Don Bradman passed away this day 20 years ago. So that was, the great man, probably the best known sporting icon in Australian history. And one of those other sporting icons, of course, goes to the Greyhounds a fair bit and becomes one of the great tipsters in the world. And it's Toddy Gray. And Toddy's online now with the racing tonight, David.
Thanks to Angle Park. Toddy, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm all right. Like to tell you, beautiful night for it at the moment. The fringe is on, the ground. It's one of my favourite months of the year.
Yeah, just stay steady there, Toddy, just wavering a bit on the line. How are the jokes going for the fringe for you? You're sort of pumping them up a bit?
Yeah, no, the fringe is going gangbusters at the moment, lads. I'm happy to say one of my shows is actually completely sold out. Woo. So I'm a little bit up and about about that. Yep, the history stuff goes to down at the West. I pretty much did that all on my own when I clicked on to see it was sold out. So the West Terrace show, that can be, you can put a pin in that. There might be an encore season, but everyone's going to have to wait.
Hey, Toddy, I did one of those in Norfolk Island with my wife Patsy. It was good, actually. It was quite entertaining in a lot of ways and quite informative and spooky.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, some people come and get a bit freaked out. Some people come and find it cheesy. It's a little bit of a gamble, but we've had a few people have been a bit freaked out. We had to escort out, and then a few people as well, you know, have a little bit of a chuckle. So I guess a bit of a mixed opinion. But yeah, we're going to find out now because all tickets are allocated and all shows are sold out until May this year. So
how long's your show go for?
The cemetery tour goes throughout the year after the fringe. No tickets available until May, and that goes all throughout the year. And as for my show itself, the one which still has tickets available, Marathon, that's three shows only every single Saturday in March during the Fringe. So the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th of March.
Fantastic. Toddy Gray, thanks to Angle Park Greyhounds. You can win a free meal for 8 at Angle Park. Okay, let's get down to business. What do you got for us?
Yeah. All right, lads. Well, I found it tonight a little bit hard, actually. There's some races on tonight called the Launching Pad, where it's a bunch of the young dogs all come together, and obviously it's just 40 youngsters, and there's a lot of shorties in tonight because of that, so I've tried to steer clear. So I'm still pretty confident, but I have to say, everyone out there who's investing, I'd cut your bets in half tonight virtually. You know, I'm not 100% as confident as I normally am, but to make up for that, I'm throwing a few out at big odds, lads, and we start with race 7, number 3, Barmar McLaren. This bloke's $19 fixed, and Malcolm, there's 3 dividends. So
beautiful.
You're happy about that?
Yep.
Look, the favourite in this race in box 1 has been absolutely smashed in the betting. A good old decent plonk at the moment. Look, it has to be better than the form shows. It hasn't fired up yet in South Australia, but its form before it came over here says it's a much better dog than what it's been showing. But look, I'm a bit of a stickler for that. I've missed the price. I've missed the boat, and I don't like getting on late. So I'm going for an upset here. This bloke doesn't run a bad race here. He's not the best dog in the race, but he's probably one of the most consistent. I reckon he's just good old-fashioned overs, lads. He jumps all right. He hits the line well. He's just a good old-round-fashioned dog, you know, a bit of a warhorse kind of dog. So at $19, definitely worth an each-way gamble. And then in the very next race, another one at about the same price. Race 8, number 6, Velocity Dory. Now, we've been on her a few times of late. Mm. She hasn't won one yet, but she's been running placings every single start. She deserves a win, and the reason she's such good price is because she's got box 6 and a full field. One of two things are going to happen. There's a lot of speed here. She's either going to get the absolute dream run and lob a lot closer than normal. They're going to take each other on at front, and it's going to be made for a sweeper, which she could very well be. Or on that first turn, she's going to be the meat in the sandwich. So you're kind of going to be clutching your ticket a bit tight on that first turn. If she gets around with minimal fuss, the odds will halve. If she doesn't, the odds will double. So once again, 3 dividends there, Malcolm. So each way all day.
Yep.
And I'll throw one out. And even though I said I'm not confident, I'm going to throw out a third one as well, just because I can, actually, but bugger it. race 10, number 4, Sell More Houses. Now this one's only 2 dividends. Sorry, Malcolm, but you can get a bit of black figures to play. This bloke ran an incredible race last week. I thought he was just going to be an also-round kind of, you know, reserve, kind of, you know, the Magoos kind of player. You know, goes all right in the Magoos, but doesn't step up in the big grade. But last week he showed me something which, look, if he repeats that effort, he was a massive run last week. Took ground off a very good dog out front. Hit the line well, and his time was sensational. So if he repeats that, he's stepping up to the 600 metres tonight. He looked like he'll run that on his ear last week. It was very impressive. So I definitely go each way there, because if he runs the drum, gets the silver medal, you get your money back.
Great stuff, Toddy Gray. Open season at Kia. Match winning deals, Australia's best 7-year warranty across the range. We've got a big show coming up. We've got Xavier Dursman not too far away, and Daryl Wakeland, double dose of Port Adelaide. Back with more shortly.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals. And Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA.
David Woody and Malcolm White, thanks to the Weeks Building Group. Thinking new home, you'll get more at Weeks. And also Tyre Power. Selected Falcon tyres at 25% off. Bloody, our next guest, sorry, is one of our favourites. We reckon we've made him every time we speak with him. He plays well. He's changed his number, though. Now, we talked about numbers also with a couple of other players. To number 7, he's taken Brad Ebert's number, and he joins us now. Xavier, thanks for your time. What made the change? You're playing pretty well in your old number.
Thanks very much for having me on, Wildy and Blighty. It's always a pleasure. And, yeah, look, changing number 7, it's always been my favourite number. I've played on it since I was in juniors, and it's been some of my best footy when I've had the number 7 on my back. So I felt like, as much as I do love the 21, I felt like I really wanted to take it off Ebo as soon as I could. And obviously, with Ebo's retiring, I thought I might try and snatch it up. And yeah, now I'm in it, and I'm really excited for it.
Gee, you must be really happy you stepped away then, getting that number 7.
No, of course not. Like I sent him a pretty long message, and you know, saying how much I appreciated him and what he meant to us in the club.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah, I was. When he did retire and did let us know, I was pretty excited that number 7 would be available for me.
Yeah, well said. Port Adelaide had a fantastic year last year. Just fell on the last hurdle. What's been the mantra? What's been the theme this year? We've heard you're hoping for 3 flags in 5 years, and you've always aimed high. But what's been the message in any areas you've been working on just to perhaps go that one step better?
Yeah, look, well, I mean, we're obviously really happy with our season last year in terms of, you know, it was a tough year for everyone. Not just footballers in general, just the whole population of Australia and the rest of the world. But for us, we really had some unfinished business. You know, we were pleased with our season, but we wanted to go all the way and win the flag, and unfortunately we couldn't do that. We came, you know, 6 points short against Richmond in the preliminary final. So for us, we've left that little bit of a mental scar there, but we're really wanting and we're really hungry for this year to come up and just go a couple better and win the flag this year. And I think we're really put ourselves in a good, in a really good position to do so with a really strong pre-season. So I feel like we're really building towards that.
Xavier, the club in general, both the president, coach, everyone saying you can win 3 in 5 years. I always thought just try and win the first one would be best. But it's a really, I mean, it's an ambitious target, but there's no reason why you can't think, just like you just said then, that you're on your way and you're as good a chance as anyone to win this thing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously, it's a very, very bold statement, but that's pretty much the Port Adelaide way in the way that we do that. We are bold, and we are like to say that, you know, very openly, that we are very bold and we like to take those risks. And as you said, we're really looking forward to winning this one, hopefully first. We've put our work in to do so, and I think that, you know, if everything goes to plan and we work really hard for the whole season, it can definitely happen. But obviously, Richo, Matthew Richardson, our chairman, CEO, sorry, has put that plan in place and made it public, and we're obviously we feel like we can live up to that. We have a really strong list as it is, a lot of obviously very, very good mature ages and veterans, and obviously a good young group coming through that we feel like can really achieve that. So we're not scared to say it, and we're looking forward to it, really.
Yeah, no, true. Hey, now you've changed your number. Are you going to change your goal celebration from the bow and arrow to a new one? Are you going to run out a new one for us?
Look, it's all a bit of a spur at the moment. I'll stick with what I've got at the minute, but it also depends on what type of situation I'm in and how excited I am at the time. Who knows what could come out. So probably if you see me kick goals, most likely the bone arrow will probably stay, but who knows what could happen if I get excited enough.
Now, you've played 35 games, but you've only kicked 18 goals, 16 behind. So if you actually kick straight, you'd actually have a goal a game. I mean, you're going to try and get that up. You're going to get some more midfield time. I think I saw somewhere where you played a little bit more in the practice games in the midfield.
Yeah, I'm going to be trying to naturally just progress and grow into the midfield. I've been training a little bit there this preseason. So obviously, I'm just trying to grow my game, and that's eventually where I want to be known as a midfielder in the competition. But obviously, I have my role on the wing as well, and I feel like I really know and understand what my role is out there, and the team knows that as well. But eventually, as myself, I want to, you know, personally grow and eventually become a midfielder full-time as well. So, but yeah, as you said, with the goal stuff, I really do want to become a goal game kind of player this year. Obviously, in a really strong team, hopefully we're going to be able to do that. If I can add what I can, you know, my goal kicking and stuff into that, I feel like we're going to be in a really good position. And if I kick a goal again, then that's going a long way to help the team do that.
I reckon Blighty was tough on you. I thought from the wing, 1 goal every couple of games, not too bad. But
no, I was talking more about the points. 18 goals, 16.
Oh, the points for you.
Yeah, we all kick points, David.
You're a courageous player. Zach Butter's a very courageous player. In fact, all the youngsters are. But do you get told, Xavier, sometimes you can be too courageous and you got to take a calculated risk. There's a fine line between, you know, putting your head over the ball, or there's some situations you don't have to perhaps do what you do. They talk about that at Albies. You've had one or two concussions.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a fine line between going, you know, too hard at it and just putting your head over the ball, and also putting yourself in silly situations. But obviously, I don't really think too much about it. I guess that's maybe why I got knocked out in that
prelim final.
The final against Geelong. But I don't really care too much. As long as I'm putting my body on the line and showing that I'm courageous for my team, I feel like that's going to give us energy. And I think that's just luck of the draw sometimes. I feel like you can get into some unlucky places sometimes, and it's just unlucky, I think. It just comes with the sport, yeah. I feel. But I just don't want to turn my aggression and my courageousness down, because I feel like that's what makes me part of my game. So I feel like that's what I bring to the team.
Would you have played in the grand final had you made it?
I would have been able to play, because it was against the Geelong in the first final. So I played the next week against Richmond.
Against Richmond,
so, yeah. If we did win, I would have been able to play. Okay. Yeah.
Now you've had your first taste of finals. I mean, it's great. Only in your second year. So how did you like it? I mean, there was a great, as David just mentioned, great win against Geelong, and didn't quite get there against Richmond. But how did you enjoy the build up, just getting involved in that whole theory of finals?
Yeah, to be honest, I really loved it, and I feel like I play my best footy in the finals. I really think that I treat it no differently to any other game, but I feel like I just can do stuff in finals that really can help my team, and I really enjoy it. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully doing it again this year and going it all the way. I feel like I can really help the team, and I'm really confident in my ability when it comes into finals.
Yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. Connor Rosie here has had a minor setback with his foot. How's he going?
Oh, yeah, Connor's going really well. He's had a really strong pre-season. But obviously, as many people would have found out in the last few days, he's gone over to Sydney. And he's getting his foot checked out with his small little tear, I think, on his ankle, I think. Yep. He's going to be fine. I think he's going to be playing, from all my knowledge that I know, that he will be playing in the practice match on the weekend. But it was more just a check-up, I think, with the doctor in Sydney.
And one last one, Alia, Fantasia, a couple of good recruits. It's going to be tough to get a game round one. How are those two boys looking on the track?
Yeah, I think it's a really good problem to have if the coaches are trying to struggle to flip players into to the round one team, because we have so many people who are fit and healthy, but also in some really good form. But Razio's been fantastic, and so's Alia. He's been back and not having the pink hat on. They've both been fantastic, and I think they're going to be adding so much to what our team's all about, and I think they've really slotted in perfectly to what we do and our game plan and game style is. So look forward to watching them this year, and I think you guys will be pretty excited about what they're going to bring.
Well, you've been fantastic too. Always appreciate you on Sports Day. So thanks for that. Good luck this year, Zave. Have another decent year.
Nah, thanks very much, Wildy. Thanks, Wildy. It's always a pleasure being on here.
Xavier Dursma there. He's a terrific young man. Wearing the number 7. Mal, have you ever changed your number?
I did, actually, yeah. At Woodville, I went from 11 to 13.
It was your first game in 11?
Yes, it was.
Why'd you go to 13?
Because it became available.
Oh. What was wrong with 11?
I just like 13 better. I don't know why. It's had this sort of difference. You say I'm a little bit different,
and
maybe.
And 13 was taken with North Melbourne.
Yes, it was. Gary Cowton, who ended up playing a couple of premierships with us. So I took the nearest one available, which was 15.
Did I hear a bit of Blotty and Blotty there?
I did.
We're twins. We're twins. That was Xavier Dursma. Thanks to Tyre Power. Think safety on the roads. Get the 5-minute tyre safety check at your local tyre. But he's a gem. He's a star. They got Butters. They've got Rosie. And they haven't even seen the other kids. Bergman, Mead.
Apparently he's been training really well, Bergman.
Has he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. There's going to be a lot of good players won't be in round one. We're going to take a break. Malcolm Blight with David.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals. And Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA.
Sports Day SA, Malcolm Blight and David Woody. All thanks to Weeks. Get that $25,000 cash discount, helping more families build their dream home. And also, we have got a segment which is starting. Sports Stars, a small business. It's an interview series. We've got Daryl Wakeland. We've got Johnny Platton also tomorrow. Let's get to work. Office Works, helping you make bigger things happen. Wakes, how are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks, World.
Nice, hi, Blighty. Nice to speak with you. We're talking about this, sponsored by Officeworks, but the importance of doing something after footy, and maybe even, you know, studying during your football to get something after. How do you think that is?
Well, I suppose as you start off as a young guy, you don't know where your footy career is going to go, let alone anything else in your life. You're sort of living it a sort of week at a time, really, at 18. Yep. But I was lucky enough to get into pharmacy out of year 12, and it was a balance at the time. I was on the Crows list and didn't know how far football was going. So, yeah, you dig in early, you try and get some years under your belt with a university degree, and then, yes, it's. I suppose I always seen it as a bit of a fallback plan if I did get a serious injury or I wasn't good enough. I'd go into a career straight away.
You've done beautifully in the pharmacy business. No doubt you've seen a lot of teammates that have fallen by the wayside. It's hard when you go from all the limelight and the bright lights, and footy ends very quickly and nothing on the end of it. So you'd recommend perhaps trying to look at that while you're playing?
Definitely more difficult these days with such a commitment. But I suppose the year I came through we're pretty fortunate because we have that balance between most of us had jobs, most of us were studied, and you could have that balance training two or three nights a week, maybe a morning. So, yeah, we had that luxury back then, and a lot of the guys don't have that opportunity these days. They can chip away at one or two subjects, but yeah, I think we played in a pretty good time back there where you had that balance.
Yeah, I agree, Darryl. Your record was good. 115 games at St Kilda, 146 at Port Adelaide, 261. It's a lot of years to play, and also premiership side with Port Adelaide. I mean, he had a wonderful career. I actually agree. I reckon most of them now, the Players Association now, Darryl, seem to put out there anywhere, any player can actually pick up something and do it slowly. You probably did it a bit quicker than them, but you can actually still do it slowly. I don't know why anyone in the football world now as a player wouldn't do it.
Absolutely. They do have the time, and but there needs to be that mindset that, you know, go about it slowly, but have that focus that you're going to have something at the end of, you know, whether that's 6 or 8 years. For me, in the end, I ended up doing part-time over 8 years, and for me, that was a decent balance. Probably my biggest regret, Blighty, I missed 6 footy trips, so I'll never get them back. But I think a lot of my teammates say now, we miss you on them footy trips, but gee, you've done well now. And it was such a peace of mind thing when I did retire. And that transition into the afterlife, the other life that I now live, was a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Hey, now, this is a great little segment by Officeworks. Now, do you buy, first of all, where's the pharmacy? Let's give yourself a really big plug. Anyone can get in touch with you. And whereabouts are you?
Well, I've just sold out of my, I had a larger business, Blighty, not to go on too long, but we did a lot of Indigenous community work, service and supply, all around pharmacy, all up through Northern Territory and Western Australia and sort of regional Victoria. So it was quite a large business. And so I'd done that firstly since I'd retired from footy and probably more seriously the last 7-8 years. So I've since sold out of that business just in the last sort of 6 months. We're selling that at the moment. But I have a few pharmacies here in Adelaide still. So I've got one down in the heartland, Lottie, on Fussell Place, about 300 metres from Alberton.
Yeah, what an oval.
Obviously, I love working down there. It's like a little country town. It's like such a close-knit community, and obviously I'm pretty well welcome down there. But great bunch of people and amazing staff, and I'm very lucky to have that business and a real connection down there in the heartland.
Our guest is Darryl Wakeland. Wakes, you look at the Port Adelaide side now, very, very exciting. I mean, they've got every chance of, you know, going on, hopefully making a grand final, winning one. Do you see shades of the 2004 team with what they've got now? They've got so many options. They've got a lot of young kids, but also some seasoned players at the other end.
Yeah, I mean, it's the depth in the midfield has been the big one for me. We've got depth up forward. We've got depth across every line, really. And I think that's the thing that gives you a lot of confidence going into a season. You couldn't have said that probably 2 years ago. It was a bit of hope, even in 2019. All of a sudden, we had some depth, and a lot of the kids didn't get an opportunity through COVID last year to even play us NFL. So them guys will have another pre-season under their belt. You know, guys like Meade and Bergman. Yeah, a few of the guys, just Bergman is the one that's going to probably jump out of the box. But then you've got guys like Laddams, Georgiadis, who have got another preseason under the belt. And then you've got Fantasia coming into the into the side. I was at a luncheon today and Kenny spoke, and he just said Fantasia hasn't missed. He's looking very sharp, quick. And that forward line is probably the one for me that gives you that little bit of that feeling inside, and you go, number one, you wouldn't want to be a defender playing down there this year with the likes of, you know, Robbie will be down there, Fantasia and
Rosie.
Rosie up there, and Dixon and Marshall and guys like this. Laddams rests up there. So it's, I think they're going to, they've added some firepower. Another preseason in the young kids will give some endurance in their legs, and they've got options. Yeah, so no, it's pretty exciting.
Daryl, when you played even back in 04, was it? Exciting brand of footy. Blighty and I, we see the congestion week in, week out, and it's they basically play in 80 metres of the ground, and they move up and down like soldiers going forward and back. Would you like to see it open up a bit more?
I would, yeah. It's a real, you know, whatever the commentators call it, we're one of them, but it's that field position, isn't it? It's about bringing up, and it's about controlling the different parts of the ground, and yeah, back in the day, it was a little bit more settled, a bit more structured, you know, the normal positions, and you could get that space and get it out. Rules were a little bit different. You know, we could control the stoppage too. You could pull it in at times, and you just pull it in around the stoppage if you wanted to slow the game down as well. But, I mean, I still love watching it. It's such a knife-edge type game these days with the way they execute the skills and the way they come up and close down the kicker, and it's a tough game that they play.
Now, David's just reminded me of something. Last time we spoke to you, I think it might have been last year, the year before, we talked about your record with your brother Shane, the Twins. Played a million games together, and you've broken every record ever in the AFL. What's Shane doing these days, mate?
He's in property, Blighty.
Oh, okay.
They have a property trust over, and he's on St Kilda Road. Service stations and regional shopping centres. He works with a group called Faulkner Property Group. So he's loving that. And obviously, everyone in Melbourne went through a pretty tough time last year through COVID, being locked down for such a long time. But, you know, he had a close group of mates around there, big in the cycling. And, we're obviously very close and keep in touch. So we've got a fishing trip coming up in Coffins Bay in about 3 weeks with a heap of mates. And we're going to slip over there with a really good crew.
My favourite oysters. Yeah. What about the oysters from there?
Now, Daryl, you and Shane do look alike, obviously being twins, but I saw the Gowans boys today and they are identical. One's a left-hander, one's a right-hander on the golf course. So I have to wait until I see what sticks they've got before I can say hello to Chris or James. It's I suppose the Scots are two very hard to pick, too, Brad and Chris.
I've never been. I'm great mates with James and Chris. I've never been able to work them out. I've known them for about 20-odd years, and I have absolutely no idea. So, but two very good golfers and a couple of very, very funny guys, but serious sportsmen, serious golfers, and... we're absolute champion careers. And, I had that 1 year, cut a long story short, but had that 1 year under Tim Watson, they both did. James got pulled off the rookie list to play one game.
That's right.
And they wanted to list him at the end of the year. And he said, well, if you're gonna list Chris? And they said no. And he said, well, we come as a package. Get stuff. So, fantastic.
They were the best recruits because they came 2-for-1 for Centrals I've ever seen. Wakes, great to see you going well. Thanks for the chat. And that's all thanks to Officeworks. Thanks for the time.
Pleasure, boys. I love the segment. And, keep on punching.
Daryl Wakeman, very, very good footballer, Blighty.
Yeah, and Pharmacy Sleep Services. Get tested for sleep apnea. Snoring? You snore? Of course we all snore.
On my back, I think I do.
Waking up tired. Find out if you have sleep apnea. Book a home sleep test at Pharmacy Sleep Services. How's that? Pharmacy Sleep Services.
Good.
Just tied in beautifully with the Officeworks and Daryl Wakeman.
I think you'd be a good sleeper, I reckon. I turn 50 times a night, I reckon, where I can actually remember turning.
No,
the things on my mind.
It might just depend on what you have for dinner.
You reckon?
Yeah, just.
Yeah. I'll take that on board. what you've bathed in, a couple more red wines. Hey, that's it for us. Malcolm got through a lot, as always, tonight. And we'll do it all again tomorrow between 6 and 7. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals. And Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA.